Childs, brother and sister. Norfolk Villa, Prospect Street, Granville, New South Wales, Australia. September 27, 1894. Dear brother and sister, the offering of $1,000 that you have made to God has come to me through the Pacific Press. I am thankful for this donation to be invested to advance the cause of God in this far distant country. We are on missionary soil, and it is only right that you should have some particulars in regard to the work that is being done in this field. I am pleased to inform you that not less than 125 have embraced the truth in Melbourne and its suburbs during the last year. Since we held our camp meeting in Brighton, a church numbering 25 has been raised up in New South Wales, mainly through the efforts of Brother Hickox. The Sabbath school, including parents and children, numbers 40. There was no place in which they could conveniently worship, and it was deemed essential to build a humble house of worship. Those of us from America were open-handed to do what we could, and 1 week ago last Sabbath, the church was dedicated. At that time, the people had the church decorated tastefully with evergreens and bright, beautiful flowers. When service opened, the church was crowded full, and the occasion was one that all will remember with gratitude and pleasure. During the dedicatory prayer, we realized that we were favored with the presence of the Lord. At Kellyville, which is about 11 miles from this place, we have another little church that is built in the midst of an orange and lemon orchard. The church members, not less than 30, and they have all newly come to the faith. I will send you some little account of our journey to this place. At Parramatta, about a mile from here, a much larger church has been built than in the places mentioned. This church is 2 years old, Kellyville Church 1 year old, Seven Hills Church about 3 months old. The Lord, by His Holy Spirit, is moving upon the hearts of men. The message of truth must enter many towns and cities that have not yet been visited, for we have not had the means or workers sufficient to respond to the calls coming in from the opening fields. I am very grateful to you for the means that you have sent across the broad waters of the Pacific, and may the Lord bless Brother Haskell for his Christ-like interest in interceding for this field. How can we enter new fields unless we are provided with the Lord's money, which He has entrusted to men as His stewards? Men of means are to make the transfer of money from their hands to meet the increasing demands of the cause. Thus, the truth is to be carried to all parts of the world, and when this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, then shall the end come. When asked when our Lord shall come, we may answer, He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Acts 17, verse 31. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24, verse 14. The people of God who claim to believe the gospel are to work most earnestly, employing every entrusted talent of influence, means, or ability to advance the truth in all its lines, in order that a people may be prepared to stand to witness to the fact that Christ is their personal Savior. Our hope is in God, and this hope we can make apparent only as we manifest entire dependence upon Him. We are not only to seek God for wisdom, but we are to rely upon Him as our only sufficiency in saving the souls of men who are ready to perish. Whatever has been done to advance the truth in Australia has been done through the efficiency of Him who is mighty to save. But much more might have been accomplished had human agents cooperated with God more fully. The three small meeting houses that I have mentioned are the only ones that have been erected by our people in all Australia. In the large city of Melbourne, which has about 500,000 people, there is no suitable place in which our people can meet to worship God and to unfurl the banner of truth. They are obliged to meet in close, untidy halls that are not suitable for the worship of God. We do hope that the time is nigh at hand when the worshipers will be impressed to say, "Let us arise and build." Nehemiah 2, verse 18. Those who have taken hold of the truth can do something toward building meeting houses, but they cannot do all. I trust, however, that as the Lord shall quicken into general activity the people who believe the truth for this time, that as the worshipers here shall let their light shine forth to others and do all that they can do, the Lord will put it into the hearts of those to whom He has entrusted means to send it to this country to help us in the erection of houses of worship. The earnest, persevering prayer of the righteous avails much. It is our duty to ask God for the very facilities that we need to lift the standard of truth in all parts of the world. It is not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, that the light of the knowledge of the truth for this time shall shine forth as a lamp that burneth. Prayerless zeal will not enable us to make the right kind of headway. The sincere, humble prayer of the true worshiper ascends to heaven, and Jesus mingles with our lowly petitions the holy incense of his own merit. Through his righteousness, we are accepted. Christ makes our prayers wholly efficacious through the savor of his righteousness. In these days of peril, we need men who will wrestle with God as did Jacob, and who, like Jacob, will prevail. Thank God that the world's Redeemer promised that if he went away, he would send the Holy Spirit as his representative. Let us pray and grasp the rich promises of God, and then praise God that in proportion to our earnest, humble supplications, the Holy Spirit will be appointed to meet our needs. If we seek God with all our heart, we shall find him and obtain the fulfillment of the promise. His grace will be given in large measure to those who will be active agents in imparting it to the world to convict the mind of truth and to convert the soul to Christ. I am sorry to learn that Brother Childs is suffering and in affliction, but let him be comforted with the thought that he has more than a human sympathizer. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 2, verse 17, 18, 4, 15, 16. The Lord will not leave his afflicted, tried children to be the sport of Satan's temptations. It is your privilege to trust in Jesus. The heavens are full of rich blessings, and it is our privilege to have the joy of Christ in us that our joy may be full. We have not because we ask not, or because we do not pray in faith, believing that we shall be blessed with the special influence of the Holy Spirit. To the true seeker through the mediation of Christ, the gracious influences of the Holy Spirit are imparted, in order that the receiver may impart a knowledge of saving truth. Why do we not believe the plain, thus saith the Lord? My dear friends, do not cease to pray under any circumstances. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. But Jesus knows all about that. In your weakness, you are not to be anxious, for anxiety means doubt and distrust. You are simply to believe that Christ is able to save unto the uttermost all who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. What does intercession comprehend? It is the golden chain which binds finite man to the throne of the infinite God. The human agent whom Christ has died to save importunes the throne of God, and his petition is taken up by Jesus who has purchased him with his own blood. Our great high priest places his righteousness on the side of the sincere suppliant, and the prayer of Christ blends with that of the human petitioner. Christ has urged that his people pray without ceasing. This does not mean that we should always be upon our knees, but that prayer is to be as the breath of the soul. Our silent requests, wherever we may be, are to be ascending unto God, and Jesus our advocate pleads in our behalf, bearing up with the incense of his righteousness our requests to the Father. The Lord Jesus loves his people, and when they put their trust in him, depending wholly upon him, he strengthens them. He will live through them, giving them the inspiration of his sanctifying spirit, imparting to the soul a vital transfusion of himself. He acts through their faculties and causes them to choose his will and to act out his character. With the Apostle Paul, they then may say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2, verse 20. Christ impresses upon the mind of believers the fact that they are to have the glory which the Father has given him, in order that all who love and serve him may be one with God. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, character, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. John 17, verse 8, 22-24. What a request! He asked not that which was impossible for the members of the human race who believe on him to receive. He asks that the Father shall love those who believe in him, who love and serve him as he loves his Son. Is this not sufficient to fill our minds with profoundest awe and love? Where is our faith? Oh, let it be strengthened in contemplation of the thought of the possibility of God loving finite men, even as he loves his own begotten Son. Let our faith be strengthened in contemplating the thought that as followers of Christ, we may be complete in him. Oh, how far short is our faith! Let us talk faith, live faith, and give to the world an example of the faith which works by love and purifieth the soul. I pray that the blessing of the Lord may rest richly upon you, and that the health of his countenance may be lifted upon you.